So my title this evening is Let's Build a Bigger Table. And you'll notice I have a big exclamation mark after that. So let's get excited about it. First, I would like for you to just bring up a picture in your mind of the table that you eat at every day. Maybe it's not a table at all. Maybe it's a counter in your kitchen. Maybe it's a TV tray. Maybe it's a coffee table in front of your television. And just recognize that that's what you're comfortable with. That's what you're familiar with. The number of seats that are available there. Maybe it's just you. Maybe it's you and your family. Just picture that and know that that's sort of your starting point. That's what you are familiar with. When I first came to the fellowship, one of the things that I thought was most wonderful, along with those three audible abras, love that, was the openness and welcoming nature of the fellowship. And Unity has the same thing, open and welcome to all, inclusive to all. And I like to think of myself as an open and inclusive person, that I'm open to everyone and I don't harbor any prejudices and discriminatory thoughts. And of course, our organizations, Unity and Fellowship, are really always only a reflection of us in the moment. But no matter how inclusive and open we imagine our hearts, Spirit is always calling us to stretch further, further than our current comfort level. I realized that we are so new into this new century, just 18 years into this new century that we've embarked on, and already we're faced with such huge, huge issues, global in scale, issues that threaten our very existence. And we seem to be more divided than ever before. Certainly in my years, it feels like it right now. I know that probably people in past history would probably say, oh no, you don't have anything on us. But it feels like it to us, doesn't it? But all of the divisiveness and negativity that's swirling around, and we keep mentioning it, is such a wonderful gift. It's the contrast, as Abraham would say. It's showing us what we don't want. And in many cases, we're right there saying, whoa, we do not want a world like this. It's showing us that things must change. And there's so much opportunity, isn't there, to expand our consciousness and to learn how to speak across our differences, because many of us haven't developed those skills. We're so used to living in our familiar world with our familiar people and our the number of seats that are at our table right now. But we get to create the kind of world and the kind of reality that best serves humankind. We know that what we experience and see around us is a reflection of our internal state. So it all has to begin in here. Not only can we not afford to wait for politicians and big institutions to get it right, we don't need to. we are so many more than they are. And we get it. It's our responsibility, each of us, every one of us, to build a bigger table. So one by one, as we open our hearts, make room for others, that translates into reaching out to others and inviting people in. When the imam came to speak with us several years now, I think, from the East Lansing Islamic Center, his message was, I came here to learn more about you and so that also you could learn more about us. And that was such a beautiful talk that he gave. And, of course, I mentioned to him before I came that the fellowship is is an audience that is right on board with that. But have you ever had the experience of not being welcomed with joy? Being welcomed with ambivalence and sort of, you know. So we know how that feels. We also know how it feels to be welcomed with joy into a home, into our unity spaces and our fellowship spaces, into our meetings. We know what that feels like. It feels like we're recognized and honored. I used to have a friend years ago. We met when we were 3 years old, and we were best friends all through high school. And I was always taught by my parents that you acknowledge people when they come in. You know, you welcome them. And when you leave the room, you also say goodnight or goodbye. And every time I would go to her house, she'd yell, maybe, come in, and I would literally have to find her, you know, like walk around all through the house yelling, Diane, where are you? And one time I actually said something to her, and, you know, I said, you know, you never say hello when I come, you know, even when I find her, there's no hello. She's just, and she said, well, you know, I guess I'm just busy, and I figured that you could find your way through, you know, you could find me. Well, you know, is that the kind of host that we want to be? Do we want to just let our guests find us in whatever state and not give them that lovely, warm welcome that they deserve? Experiencing divine love, actually living it and experiencing it, is a relationship experience of extending and receiving compassion, kindness, and love. I give it to you, you give it to me, maybe I get it somewhere else, but that's where we have the giving and receiving, our one in truth concept. I got a fortune cookie the other day that said, the art of relationship is appreciation. How beautiful is that? And I said, thank you, I can use that in my talk. We all want to be heard, don't we? We all want to be respected and cared about and welcomed in and loved and know that we're valued. So now I want to tell you, or ask you to think about radical hospitality. Radical hospitality requires the kind of unconditional acceptance that we crave. Unconditional. Our hearts extend an invitation to join us at the table, at our table, and we see the person before us in the illuminated light of divine love. That's the ideal. That's the best. That's the best, isn't it? And it's transformative for both the guest and the host in those moments. so I couldn't help but think, who was the demonstration of radical hospitality? Anybody have a guess?
Jesus
was absolutely the demonstration of radical hospitality. He invited everyone to his table, the lepers, the sinners, the prostitutes, and the Pharisees. It ran the gamut of all humankind.
Tax collectors.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? I'm sure we couldn't think of them all. But yes, and that's what we're called to. Our willingness to build a bigger table requires making the effort to stretch ourselves. When I was young, we had Christmas dinners. And it was really just my mom and I growing up. So on a daily basis, she and I ate dinner at the kitchen table. On weekends, we ate with my uncle and aunt, and so there were four of us. But for Christmas dinner, it was an explosion of people in our house. And I thought about this the other night, and I'm sad because there's no one left to ask how this happened. But on Christmas, we'd go into my aunts and uncles, and this huge table would have appeared. It was huge. And I don't know where it came from. It wasn't the dining table with more leaves in it. It was too big for that. It must have been something that my uncle crafted, put together, and then my aunt covered it up with a tablecloth, and you couldn't really tell what it was. But that was a time when we sat around this big, huge table, all of us, and as a little kid, this was a magical experience for me because, as I said, I was used to one or two or four people at the most, all different kinds of voices, different people, different opinions, laughter. Sometimes the voices started to raise. But it was just a beautiful, beautiful experience. But that took effort. It took effort. And when we build a bigger table to invite people into our homes, sometimes it takes effort. It takes effort to create more space. Maybe we have to clear off the dining room table. I know that applies to me sometimes. And I look at it and say, oh boy, do I really want to do this? I mean, we can create within our homes deterrents to inviting people in because it requires so much effort. But to live radical hospitality, we live, love, and extend that hospitality by removing any condition to welcoming and serving another, whether that's within us, in our homes, in our hearts. No condition, and that was Jesus' message. I'm not touched this. We have to find a way to create safe space in this day and age for people to come together and have conversations that are maybe not going to be easy. And we're going to have to find it within our hearts to ask the hard questions so that we can bridge those divides. I have a friend that, and we had been friends for quite a good number of years. When I decided I was going to join the Fellowship School of Ministry, I was really excited about that, and I told this friend that this was going to be my journey for the next few years. And the next time we got together, she said, "I'm not sure if we can still be friends, Mary." Well, I knew that she was a more traditional religious person. We didn't really talk about it too much, but I could tell, and I just, you know, kind of, we didn't talk about it. But I guess since this was going to be such a big part of my life now, she went to the fellowship website and read all about the fellowship and had come to the conclusion that she just wasn't sure about the whole thing anymore. And, of course, I'm thinking, what? You know, what in the world could you read on the fellowship website that would be, you know, jarring or startling or Mary's not the person I thought she was kind of information? So talking a little bit more, I quickly realized it was the absence of something on her website, and that was, where do you talk about Jesus? You know, it's the traditional religious Christian perspective. And so I said, well, and I explained my view. And I could tell that I could see the agitation and the frustration building in her. And I knew that if this was going to work, I was going to have to be the calm one. I was going to have to be patient. And really, as we talk, recognize my triggers as, you know, she's explaining her views and how we should all think that way. And really step back and say, you know, and take a breath, fill myself up with love, and go back into the conversation. It really took active, generous listening. But I had a true desire to make it work with this friend. We were good friends, and it didn't seem to me that this difference between us should tear us apart. I continued to speak my truth, and I put it in those words. This is the way I see it. This is what I believe. This is what I think. And I respect you and your opinion and your views. And I would never try to persuade you to change them. So I kind of led with that, sort of setting the stage. So we had a lot of discussions over the coming months. And by practicing these points that I just gave you, we were able to come to a good place and really found that we both shared a lot more in common around this topic than she thought we did. And we just kept talking. That's another thing that's important. Don't give up. You know, just keep talking and being open and listening with generosity. And I realized, too, that in those conversations with her, we both were being peacemakers. We both were finding a way to speak to each other across our differences. So the idea isn't to abandon our own personal convictions and values. We just don't demand that the other person share ours in order to be in deep, meaningful fellowship with us. Oops, the clock is covered up. So I want to ask you the question. How big can you make your table? How big of a table can you build? When you're passing out invitations to come to dinner, who doesn't get one? Who isn't welcome? Where's the edge? I'm sure that when we think about that, like how far can we go and what are, where do we come to that point where, oh no, not that person. I'm sure that probably when it's like a worst case scenario pops up. But as Abraham would say, you might want to start with something easier. Every little stretch, even contemplating a stretch, to open to someone that we've kept at a distance, that we know we don't agree with, that we've been silenced, that has been between us for a long time. Even contemplating that changes our vibrational offering. And in doing that, we change the vibration of the collective consciousness. And this is what will change our world. The other question I want to ask you is, are you welcome at your own table? Can you find a place for you there? Do you honor and respect and value your place at the table? I know that from my small human mind, it's really hard to see the love and innocence in someone else who doesn't conform to my personal definition of a loving being. And try as I might, I can't look past the harm and damage I believe they caused to really see them as God sees them. It takes effort. And we also have that swirling around us now everywhere, don't we, with the Larry Nassar trial and sentencing. There just always seems to be a place to challenge ourselves within. I know that some of you, or most of you probably know that I taught classes in the Ingham County Jail for many years, and I knew what the guys did before they walked into the room. And it wasn't all stealing grandma's credit card and going to the ATM. It was some pretty serious stuff. But I felt such a gift, such a blessing that when they walked through the door, I saw them as just like you and I sitting here today. I could see them with Christ consciousness. And that was an amazing experience for me, and I hope for them. It really was the impetus that started me thinking about going to ministry school. So expanding our table is about letting go of everything that separates us, keeping people at arm's length for good reason or bad, otherizes them. I love that word, otherizes them. We get entrenched in our opinions, in all the rules, and the doctrine, and the dogma, and that this is the way it's got to be. This is how I'm comfortable, and I really don't want to contemplate any other way of doing it. So what I'm talking about here today is creating a space within and without where our differences can be acknowledged and welcomed. A place where we can make a difference in the collective consciousness, do our part to create peace in this world. From whatever side it's coming from, when we're faced with loud, loud hatred, we are challenged to be a louder, loving response. And of course, to end, everyone's already sitting at the table, right? Everyone. I had this moment preparing this where I closed my eyes and I opened them, and I saw this never-ending, limitless table. And both sides, the people just sort of leaned in and looked at me. Everybody's already there. And it's up to us to open our minds and hearts, to see them and welcome them in. And know that we can do it and still be true to ourselves. So thank you. Thank you.